We'll begin with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask that you open our hearts by your Holy Spirit now as we meditate upon your word, and pray that by your Holy Spirit he will make our hearts receptive to the word which you've given us, and pray that the word may become engrafted to save our souls. And pray this in your name. Amen. We'd like to begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us by means of the tapes and also the speakerphone. Service today is coming from the Trenton Town Hall, near Beaver Dam, Randolph, and Fox Lake, and Columbus. We're having one of these beautiful days finally. We haven't seen the sun, at least in our area, for quite some time, but today the sun is shining in all of its brightness, and a lot of the crops are being taken in the beautiful fall season. The geese are starting to come into the Horicon Marsh, and it's just one of those beautiful times of year. We wish that all of you could be here with us, and since you can't be, we are thankful that we can share things with you, and like to invite you to open your Bibles with us to John chapter 19. We're going to be looking at verses 12 through the first part of verse 16. I'd like to read them at this point and then go back and take what the Holy Spirit has given us. From thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. The crucifixion of Christ can be looked upon in different ways depending upon who is looking at it. As far as the Father is concerned, the crucifixion is a complete payment for our sins. As far as the Son is concerned, the crucifixion was a sacrifice. It was also an offering made in obedience to His Heavenly Father. From the standpoint of believers, the crucifixion was a substitution. The Lamb of God suffering in the place of His people, so that with His righteousness we are healed. From the standpoint of the devil, it was somewhat of a victory for a moment, followed by a crushing defeat. Now, it was there that he bruised the heel of the seed, but then in the process his own head was crushed. And finally, as far as the world is concerned, the crucifixion is a brutal murder. The most unjust deed that has ever been done on the face of the earth. And this is the way we're looking at it here in the text. In verse 12, the Holy Spirit tells us, from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. And we have here a rather odd scene. Two men standing alone. One of them beaten, bound, and bleeding. The other a powerful Roman judge. And yet it's the prisoner who has peace of heart and peace of mind. And it's the Roman judge who is fearful and is literally quaking in his boots. Pilate sought to release him. Why? Because the final accusation of the Jews against Jesus was this. He made himself to be the Son of God. That's in verse 7. And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And then he asked the final questions of Jesus. Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? And then Jesus answered, you could have no power at all against me except it were given to you from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto you has the greater sin. And Pilate here is scared half to death. And therefore he sought to release him. Now if Pilate had the power to do this, and if he knew that Jesus was innocent and he wanted to release him, how does it happen that he ended up giving this death sentence of crucifixion? Well, from the human side, it's easy to figure out. The Jews here played their trump card. But the Jews cried out saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. For whoever makes himself a king speaketh against Caesar. The shot told. And it hit home for different reasons. In the first place, the Jews had already charged Christ with perverting the nation, stirring up the people, teaching them to refuse to pay tribute, and claiming to be a king. Now, these things are recorded in Luke 23, the first five verses. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry and beginning from Galilee to this place. Now these were accusations that Pilate had to deal with. And even though there's a big difference between making a charge and proving it, Pilate himself was enough of a politician to know that it's easy enough to make false charges and then pay off witnesses to witness to the truth of these things. Pilate probably had played that game himself. As a judge, he knew how easy it is to manufacture accusations against a person and charges. It's happened more than once. So Pilate had to deal with these charges. He couldn't just forget about them. Secondly, Pilate himself was not in good favor with the people, because just recently he had slaughtered some people right while they were worshiping and making sacrifices. This is in Luke 13:1. Now there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Pilate was governor of a hot spot in the Roman Empire. There was no more difficult place to govern than Judea. And the eyes of Rome were always on it, watching for rebellion and sedition. It was a place where a man's job wasn't safe if there was any trouble at all. And Pilate was into it up to his neck. And so when Pilate starts vacillating, the Jews hit the hot spot. This man is claiming to be a king instead of Caesar. And Pilate knows very well that if he lets Jesus go, there's going to be a delegation from Palestine to Rome to witness to Caesar about all these things. And almost certainly, Pilate will lose his job. And more than likely, he's going to lose his life as well. This then was the issue that Pilate had to pass on. That the man standing before him was unique, he knew very well. Maybe even suspected that he was more than just a human being. He knew he was innocent. But he also knew that the Sanhedrin thirsted for his blood. And if they didn't get it, they were going to go to Caesar. The choice then is very simple. It's the choice between Jesus Christ or the world. And there's no in between. The issue is very clearly defined. You either please God, Pilate, or you please man. When you study the Gospel of John, you see Pilate going and coming and going and coming and going and coming 7 different times if we're counting correctly. He starts out alone with Jesus and then he goes out to the people. Then he goes back to Christ. Then he goes out. Then he goes back. Then he goes out. Then he goes back. And then he goes out again. 7 different times. And these things are recorded in all in the Gospel of John. The first stage where Pilate goes outside is chapter 18, verses 28 to 32. And you can study this at home. Then he goes inside, chapter 18, verses 33 to 37. Then he goes outside, same chapter, verses 38 to 40. Then he goes back inside, chapter 19, verses 1 to 3. Then he goes back outside, chapter 19, verses 4 to 7. Then he goes back inside to talk with Christ alone, chapter 19, verses 8 to 11. And finally, out to the people again in our text, chapter 19, verses 12 to 16. And that's finally when the judgment is given. A certain note of perfection here as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned. And how God's fully in control of this, and this is very important. The movements of Pilate are fully controlled by the Father. We've got to remember this. Fully controlled by the Father, even though Pilate is unaware of it. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now, this reminds us of a scene that's going to take place at the last day. This is a miniature of it, when a greater judge than Pilate is going to sit in judgment. Matthew 25. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then the roles are going to be reversed. It's the prisoner who's going to be the judge, and the judge who's going to appear before him, the Roman judge. Now Pilate is in control. The name of the place in Greek is called the pavement. In the Hebrew, it's called Gabbatha. I believe these things are mentioned to show that it's the whole world that's against Jesus Christ. Not only the Jews, but also the Gentiles. And we are as guilty as the Jewish people were. Now, Pilate is our representative of the Gentile nations, and the Gabbatha, the Hebrews, represented by the chief priests, hierarchy of the church, and the ones who cried out, "Crucify Him." And here you have a fulfillment of what you've got in Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. And this is really what it's all about. Refusal to bow in obedience to the Son of God. Now, we will not have this man to rule over us. That's their cry. And so it continues. It was the preparation of the Passover. The Jews were getting ready to celebrate the feast of the Passover. There was no more important religious feast among the Jewish people. The Passover looked back to the day down in Egypt where God freed His people. And He did it with 10 powerful plagues against Pharaoh and the land of Egypt. The 10th one was the plague, the Passover plague, when the angel of death walked through the land of Egypt and killed all the firstborn of man and beast. There was one way out. If a lamb was slain and his blood was smeared upon the doorposts of the house, then the angel would pass over that house, because death had already struck there. In other words, the lamb died instead of the people. And the Jews were getting ready to celebrate this. And about the sixth hour, it sounds like they had been getting ready for this day for the past 6 hours. And now the Lamb of God was going to be on the cross for 6 hours, giving them the real meaning of the Sabbath and fulfilling it. Now Pilate says to the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said, shall I crucify your king? And now you have it. The chief priests, Annas, Caiaphas, representatives of the Jewish nation, the real power pieces, speaking for the Jewish people, said, we have no king but Caesar. And God took them at their word. The fulfillment here of Isaiah 3 verse 4, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. Are they going to be alone? God is not going to be their king anymore. The one who had led them out of Egypt, provided for them through 40 years in the wilderness, performed one miracle after another, through Joshua, conquered the Holy Land, gave them houses that they had not built, and vineyards that they had not planted. A land which was a good land. A land flowing with milk and honey, and the eyes of the Lord their God were upon it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. The one who promised them, I will be with you wherever you go. They turned their backs and rejected him. There's an interesting quote I'd like to give you from the Numerical Bible, which shows out some interesting thoughts. It goes this way. It has to do with the words, we have no king but Caesar. This was not the verdict of the Jews alone, and they have not suffered alone. The whole world has been lying under the yoke which they have preferred to the easy yoke of Christ. They have gotten very tired of Caesar, true. And as we see by their fitful movements every now and then, they would fain be rid of him. They are always crying, give us a better government. But all they can do is, with doubtful betterment, to divide Caesar up into many little Caesars. Better, they think, because weaker, with divided interests, and so the balance of power may be secure, that may secure the, even the weights of justice. But that is still an experiment, some think. But this chronic war is never peace, nor can it be. And the reason is because men have refused the Prince of Peace. Modify it, rename it, disguise it as you please. The reign of Caesar is the only alternative. Now, what was Pilate's fatal flaw? And he did have one. Then delivered him he therefore unto them to be crucified. His fatal flaw was that he feared man rather than God. It was only a short time ago the Son of God had said this: "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." This is the choice that Pilate had to make. Now, he probably never heard these words, but he was a Roman judge. He was entrusted by the Roman government to be fair. And if the Romans were noted for one thing more than anything else, it was the fairness of their court system. You could always get a fair shake in a Roman court. But not here. Pilate feared the Jews. Why? Because they would go to Caesar. And Pilate feared Caesar. And he feared losing his job, and he feared losing his life. And so he made his choice, delivering a man to be crucified whom he himself had said over and over and over again, indicating this no less than 7 times, "I find no fault in him." How different Pilate's history would have been had he made a good confession here. Because if he would have made use of the light that he had, God would have given him more. And if he had stood up and given a good witness and refused to buckle in to the cries of the Jews, yes, he would have lost his job more than likely, and probably even his life. But remember what the Savior said: whoever finds his life is going to lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, that same one shall find it. Now, Pilate is not the only one that has these choices to make. You and I often have the same choice. What is it going to be? Are we going to fear God, or are we going to fear man? And you can't fear both. We're going to fear one or the other. The question is, which one? And the words of the Savior, you know, no man can do anything to any child of God that God does not allow him to do. And Jesus had it right when he said to Pilate, and you know, Pilate was astonished that Christ showed no fear here. "Aren't you going to answer me? I'm the Roman judge, don't you know that? Don't you know I've got the power to crucify you, or the power to let you go?" And no fear whatsoever, but only a good witness. "You couldn't have any power at all over me, except it were given to you from above." And that's true of you and me too. No child of the devil on this earth can have any power over one of God's children unless it be given him from above. And if it is, and if from the human side of things the worst happens, and we're nailed to our own cross,
You know this. There's a blessing in it. It's not a child of the devil who's nailing us to the cross. It's the Heavenly Father. And there's a blessing in it for us. A terrible judgment coming for them. We'll close with a prayer. Lord Jesus, the same decision that Pilate was faced with so often, we also are faced with. And if we're left to our own power and strength, we'll fall just like Peter did and Pilate. We pray that you fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit and strengthen us and comfort us. And grant that when we may make our own decision, we may fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell, rather than fear him who is only able to destroy the body and then can do nothing more. Pray this in your name. Amen.